All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Nan Su. He is a senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times with an eye and focus on Chinese politics and government deception. Nan is highly knowledgeable in a variety of subjects, including the coronavirus and all things happening overseas. His reports have run on the Epoch Times for some time now and gained a following based on his expertise in delivering thorough results. And I also have to say that the Epoch Times is a far-right international multi-language newspaper and media company that's affiliated with the Falun Gong new religious movement. And it's the newspaper is based out of New York, and it's part of the Epoch Media Group, which also operates New Tang Dynasty Television. It's also a pro-Trump newspaper. So with that having been said, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Earl. I have to say, you know, you got a lot of misconceptions about our newspaper.
No, I'm reading. Listen. Anybody can type in the Epoch Times, and the Epoch Times, I don't have the misconceptions. That's what it says. The Epoch Times is a far-right international multi-language newspaper and media company affiliate. What have I said in error?
Well, first of all, you know, our reports are all based on facts, and they are media nowadays all around the world try to twist the facts, and they are the one trying to put the label on us. So if you don't read Epoch Times, you know, first of all, I have to say you go to our page and read our article, and then you tell me, you know, which article it's not based on the facts. And then, you know, we go from there.
Well, so I can say this. It is not my job to check on whether or not what you are saying and what the Epoch Times is. And so when you look up, if I looked up the New York Times and they gave me and information about what the New York Times or the Washington Post or anything else says, that's what I'm going with. I'm not going with, well, I got to go read what it is you guys say and then refute what is said. Let's get beyond that. So let's talk about, you know, your what you are talking about and what's happening with China and what's happening with the relationship between China and Vladimir Putin and what's happening with the relationship between China and Taiwan and why people think it's the United States' responsibility to get heavily entwined in all of that. And let's also talk about the fact that China and America 20 years ago were great partners because America took 30 years ago, took many of our jobs, middle-class jobs from here, and took them to China. And so there was a great partnership between China and the United States. What happened?
Well, first of all, since you put out that statement there, I have to say, you know, that's the main difference between our media and you. You are also a media. You blindly follow New York Times and Washington Post, and we don't. And we do our independent investigations.
So let me ask you, hold on. What did I say that was an error, sir?
Independent result.
What did I say that was an error? Correct me.
The facts.
Correct me. What did I say that was an error?
Well, you, first of all, you blindly label that our newspaper is a far right.
Well, that's exactly, if anybody, newspaper.
That is what you're trying to label us.
No, that's not
and
what I'm trying to label you. Any of our listening audience, any of our
newspaper,
sir.
Any of our listening audience, label our newspaper as a far right paper.
Let me say this to you. Anybody in this listening audience can type in the Epoch Times, and that's what they'll get. Okay? So I haven't created anything. Now, as I said before, we can sit
well,
here.
I didn't say you created anything. I say the difference between our media, our newspaper, and you as a media, the difference is we don't blindly follow who, you know, wherever it's been said on New York.
I don't know anything about the Epoch Times, and so there are 10 million different newspapers and periodicals that you'll find on the internet anywhere. And so for me to go and research all of those things, I don't have time to do that. I will say to you, we can continue to have this dialogue, or you can start responding to the questions that I'm asking about what's happening with China, because at the root of our conversation is that, you know.
Well, I have to clarify, you know, whatever you say first, and then I will move forward to make the respondents of your questions. Well, and you, first of all, you make a label, you know.
I didn't make any label, sir.
Ask me the questions about China. You first label who we are,
sir,
and without even reading any single article that we published. So I have to make a response first.
So Wikipedia.
And then we will move forward to talk about China.
So, sir, Wikipedia clearly is who has written this. The Epoch Times is a far-right international multi-language newspaper and media company affiliated with, are you affiliated with Falun Gong? New religious movement.
Okay, let me explain that. I didn't say we were not. Okay, now this newspaper was established back in 2001 with a bunch of political dissidents that coming out of China who want to establish an independent channel to make sure the information in and out of China without government censorship. And some of those people who starting this newspaper are Falun Gong practitioners. Now, if you go out, you just, all you need to do is, you know, simply log on our front page. You will see a lot of people who contribute to our newspaper who,
sir,
apparently are well known.
Sir, let me say this to you.
And people believe others.
Sir, let me say this to you. This listening audience, you know, I brought you on
to talk about. If you're asking me questions about China, then go ahead, ask. I don't. We, you know, that's what I'm here for, because I'm.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get.
But,
okay.
But why do you want to label who we are before you ask me a question about China?
Sir, I'm not going to go any further with that debate. I mean, China's defense ministry and Russia's President Putin are strengthening their country ties. Now, listen. So at my interest in all of this is about what's happening with this nation that I live in. And China. It's not about, you know, the Epoch Times, to be quite frank with you, and what the Epoch Times is. I could care less. The concern is what is happening with the United States and what is happening with our relationship with China. Because it is safe to say that there's saber rattling going on that could possibly lead to the United States and China getting engaged militarily. If you have some conversation about that or some ideas about that, or if those things are blowing out of proportion, I say yes, then we need to have a dialogue and a conversation. If you have some ideas, some conversation about what is taking place, sir, in Taiwan, and whether or not the United States would be willing to go to war if China stepped into Taiwan, then yes, there are a lot of conversations you and I can have. But I'm not going to spend the time talking about, you know what, you know, the newspaper.
Okay, good. You know, now we're talking. You know, I think we should start from here at the very beginning. Now, talking about China, China's defense minister just visited Moscow last week, met with Putin. There's a lot of things going on now. China's defense minister is a military general, and before he took over the post of defense minister's job, he was the director of Chinese military's logistics supply department. So he's clearly there trying to find a way to provide more supplies to, you know, wherever Putin is needs for their military equipment or weapons, so Putin can continue on his war. This is what's happening now. Talking about Taiwan, see, I'm a reporter. I'm not going to give you the speculation, but what I'm going to give you is the facts. You know, there are a lot of people still thinking China is a peaceful competitor. You know, the long-term competition with China is good for the future of the United States. But what I'm going to give you is the what's in the eyes of our allies in Asia. Now, first of all, let's start from Taiwan.
So let's do this now, sir. So because we just had that dialogue initially, we're up against the break. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll certainly give you an opportunity so we can have the dialogue. Mark from Sussex, hang on. My guest is Mr. Nam Su, and he is with the Epoch Times reporter. We'll be right back.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself at the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Nam Su. He is with the Epoch Times. He's a reporter for the Epoch Times. So, sir, let me. So China does not have a right, a sovereign nation, to interact with Russia. There's something that is clearly wrong, that they should not be interacting with Russia. Is that what's at the root of the conversation we're having?
Not yet, because you ask a part of your questions, it's about Taiwan. So So let me finish in Taiwan.
Right.
And, you know, we start from the Russia, you know, I'm trying to answer the part of the question Taiwan, and then we'll come back to Russia.
Go ahead.
Right? Because I haven't...
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yet. Yeah, so I'm not trying to speculating what's going on there, but, you know, I just gave you what the airlines of United States in Asia is doing. Now, Taiwan, this year, Taiwan's defense budget jumped 13.9%. You know, it's like a close 4 to 14% jump for 1 year. And they also extended their military service from 4 months to a full year, starting with the beginning of next year. Japan's military budget jumped 26.3% from last year to this year. That's a 1 year 26.3% jump. And that's the only the first step, because they already make announcement. They have a 5-year plan to make a 100% increase of their defense budget. So their 2027 budget of defense budget will double their 2022 budget. And also South Korea president recent months repeatedly spoke that South Korea want nuclear weapons. Why are they doing that? What's in their eyes? You know, you can come up with your own judgment for all what's going on over there. Now, so let's go back to Russia.
Before you leave, because South Korea, because Taiwan, and because Japan has increased their military budgets, clearly based on what many are saying, is they somehow believe that China's going to become aggressive with those nations. And so they're preparing themselves as if China is going to be moving on those nations. And that's really what we're talking about here. And when you look...
That's right.
I'm sorry?
That's right.
Okay, but again, those are assumptions, right? There are no factual information that says China's looking to move on Japan, because China knows that Japan is an ally of America, and that if they move on Japan, America's going to be involved in that. South Korea, the exact same thing. Those nations have no power or no ability to hold off one of the most powerful nations on earth. Those are our allies. And if anything happens to either one of them, we'll be there. The question becomes with Taiwan, who is not a member of NATO, who is not our ally. And so if China does get involved with Taiwan, the United States getting involved in that kind of a war is not something that many Americans are willing to accept, because they don't want their children dying because of something, a war that can't be won unless there are going to be nuclear weapons used. The United States is not going to put foot soldiers on the soil of Taiwan. Taiwan, no matter how big they've expanded their military, is minuscule compared to China. So, sir, what are we talking about?
Great. You know, I think you just make your comment about your opinion on Taiwan. And let me give you my opinion. Not my opinion, my report. The facts that you want, basically. You just say you want the facts, okay? Now, you say there's no facts about if China want to invade Taiwan. Now, I'll give you several things. Number one, you know, last year in August.
Listen, I'm sorry. We've got to go to a break. Hold the thought. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is Mr. Nam Su, and he is a investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover.
You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus. Get yourself free.
At 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Nan Suh. He is an investigative reporter and writer for the Epoch Times. Sir, you were saying before we went to break.
Yes, we were trying to focus on the facts. Why, you know, you say that all these countries, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, based on, you know, increase their military budget based on assumptions. No, they are not based on the assumptions. Now, China's Chairman Xi already make order that Chinese military to be fully ready to annex Taiwan by the year of 2027. Now, you see a different talk about the time. U.S. Air Force General Mike Minahan say, you know, he expected the military conflict with China, it's going to come as early as 2025, and there are other military say 2027, and our political leaders, Biden administration, basically say they think, you know, it's the military conflict with China will not come before 2030. So basically, you can the takeaway from this, you know, debate is they're not talking about if, they're talking about when. Now, and so why Japan, you know, another part of your question is why Japan worry about China invade Taiwan. Now, because when China controls, China's goal is not to only control Taiwan. China's goal is to control South China Sea.
Correct.
Since 2013, China already built 7 man-made islands in South China Sea. And China's Chairman Xi promised President Obama that they're never going to put those man-made islands in military use. But however, by now, they already fully militarized 3 out of the 7 islands. Now, if they control Taiwan plus those 3 man-made islands, they are continuing militarizing more of those man-made islands right now. So those man-made islands plus Taiwan together, you know, China will pretty much control South China Sea. And when China controls the South China Sea, China will be able to do 4 things. Number one, choke the economic lifeline of Japan. Japan is an island nation. Now, one third of GDP depending on trade, and those trade pretty much all going through South China Sea. Number two, you know, China will look further down to the south to make to threaten, you know, the, another important airline of the United States in the region. That's Australia. Number three, China will have a lot more say on the global economy, because every year globally you have about $10 trillion global trade, and close to 40% of them all going through South China Sea. And number four, when China controls China, South China Sea, China will pretty much, you know, hold a major influence to Southeast Asian nations. There are 10 nations there, you know, those nations right now are the biggest trading partner of China, exceeding EU, exceeding United States. And right now, a lot of supply chains are relocated out of China, and guess where they're going? They're going to all those, you know, Southeast Asian nations. So if you look at the White House web page, there is a call, so-called Indo-Pacific strategy right now. That's the global strategy and focus of U.S. diplomatic diplomacy. And now that region, that Indo-Pacific region, extended from the nations around Indian Ocean all the way to the others, to the nations on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. This is the region encompass half of the world's total population and two-thirds of the world's economy. That's why the U.S. Indo-Pacific strategy called this region the world's center of gravity. And guess what? When China controls the South China Sea, when China controls Taiwan, then, you know, you're not going to see any stability in this region. And Beijing's leader in last June, in June of last year, already claimed the full sovereignty of Taiwan Strait. Basically, they say if a U.S. naval ship or any other country's ship want to sail through Taiwan Strait, they need the permission from Beijing.
So, sir, listen, I'm not unmindful of the things that you said. Here's my retort to what you were saying. Number one, the United States has more military bases around the world than all the rest of the nations combined. So when we have our footprint all over the world, I mean, for us to be talking about what China is attempting to do, we need to look in the mirror. So because we don't control the world, or in a way we do, and we have been, and now there are people moving outside of the United States, and the United States' footprint and control over the world is starting to change. There are people who don't believe, when we're talking about going to war with China, we're talking about maybe eventually nuclear war. So when I hear people talking about, well, you know, 10 years from now, maybe less, we're going to be involved in a war with China, I'm like, are you out of your friggin' minds? Because that's what is going to lead to, nuclear war. So I don't believe it's inevitable. And for people who say it is inevitable, they're out of their minds. Because a war with China leads to nuclear war. And who wins that, sir?
Okay. All right. First of all, we don't have a choice, you know, if what China
we do have a choice.
No. We don't have a choice to, you know, to what China is going to do. I'm not saying we don't have a choice what we are going to do. You know, you cut me off. You cut me short. You have to let me finish. I let you finish everything you want to say. So let's talk about China. China already now already have, Chinese Navy already have more naval ships than United States.
That's correct.
China already have more land-based nuclear launch device than United States. China already developed so-called hypersonic missile technology, which we don't even have. And more disturbing is China already combined their, you know, hypersonic missile technology with the cruise missile technology. Now, keep in mind, our anti-missile system is only able to shoot down the ballistic missile. We're not even able to shoot down the cruise missile system. Now, China, when they combine the cruise missile technology with the hypersonic missile technology, see, hypersonic missile, they fly five times faster than ballistic missile. Ballistic missile flies about like 800 miles per hour, and hypersonic missile fly like 4,000 miles per hour. So, you know, when China, you know, trying to do all this, what are we are talking about? We're not trying to talk about, you know, we want to stop a war. That's just a misconception of yourself. We want to keep the peace. And the only way to keep the peace is we remain strong. See, that's what our allies in the Asian, in the front lines facing China, what they're trying to do. They're not trying to start a war, but they're trying to remain strong. Only when you are strong, the war is not there to approach you. When you are weak, then the war will come. It's not by your choice. It's the communist regime in China. It's their choice.
Yeah, so listen, you can, and all of this peace through strength conversation, it has led us, again, to over 700 military installation bases all over the world. I've heard the conversation. I know what it is, and it leads us to spending almost $1 trillion every year on the military in order to protect somebody else. Nobody's coming to attack America because the two oceans are there. I don't care if it's China or whoever it is. You know, where we are weak is when we are spread across the world. And when we are trying to protect a Taiwan, which is a small island that, you know, if that is right off of the Chinese mainland. And to think that somehow the United States is going to prevent China from taking Taiwan, it's foolhardy. It's not going to happen. Because, again, the only way it's possible to send any troops there is a slaughter. United States can never send enough troops there under any circumstances. The fact that there are so many Chinese people compared to American people leads you to believe that the United States could never step in and prevent China from doing anything to Taiwan unless there's some nuclear weapons involved. Now, if you know another way, you know, I'm all ears.
See, that's just China a fact. And Russia, they're coming hand in hand right now, and that's what how we start this conversation. When we start this conversation, we started China already right. invade. Russia already invaded Ukraine. You know, do you say, you know, are you? What's your opinion about Russia's invasion of Ukraine? Do you think the United States shall support the Ukraine people to fight against the invasion?
I will say this. Right now, there's a war going on in Africa. And the United States' response to it is not the same as it is with Ukraine. So they're allowing the slaughter to continue in Africa. But in Ukraine, how far are we willing to go? We're not going to put troops on the ground in Ukraine. Listen. Whatever happens, if Russia and China decide to join forces, there's nothing we can do to prevent that. We have NATO. We've joined forces with many other nations that are right next door to Russia. Why is it that we don't see it through the same prism? What's good for the gander is good for the goose. We can't say to China, you can't befriend Russia. How can we do that when we befriended other nations you know, that are at the doorstep of Russia.
So your basic opinion is if Russia invades Ukraine, let that be. If China wants to support Russia to invade Ukraine, let that be.
I'm saying, to what degree are the American people willing to send their loved ones to die? Okay, as I said before, these things are happening all over the world, sir. I just told you about what's happening in Africa, where we just closed the embassy because of the slaughter that's taking place there. Okay, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Nan Tzu. He is a editorial writer and investigative writer for the Epoch Times, breaking news, Tucker Carlson out at Fox News. Go ahead, Mr. Tzu.
Yeah, I'm not writing anything for Fox News.
I didn't say you were writing anything for Fox News. I said Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News.
Okay.
All right, so
now, so basically you have to prioritize, you know, what I'm trying to say here is, you know, when you compare what's happening in Taiwan and what's happening in Ukraine with what's happening in Sudan, you know, I think the United
people are dying. Innocent people are dying. I know, but when you talk about prioritizing,
the threat.
What?
U.S. government, you know, the current administration, they prioritize the major threat first that will destabilize the peace around the world. So you know, Sudan. Yes, there's a things happening there.
Slaughtered. Innocent people being slaughtered.
That's right. But, you know, if you have things, you know, happen in Ukraine and especially if something happened in Taiwan, there will be, 10 times or maybe 100 times, you know, the kind of slaughter to happen. Right. So you have to prioritize what's more important. And that's why, see, Japan never had the diplomatic relation with Taiwan ever since 70s, but Japan's prime minister has repeatedly, you know, since last prime minister to this prime minister, they, you know, several prime ministers already repeatedly speaking, if Taiwan is in trouble, then Japan is in trouble. So you have to prioritize what's the major threat.
But sir, I have to challenge you. When you say if Taiwan is in trouble, Japan is in trouble. Japan, we have a clear relationship with, to the degree that we will certainly step in if anything happens. If China gets involved at all with Japan, America is there. That's not the case with Taiwan. That's not written anywhere. We don't have a treaty like that. You're assuming.
I think you have 100% wrong understanding about the relationship between United States and Taiwan.
No, I don't.
Now, this is a part of the U.S.-China. U.S. government has a one-China policy. The one-China policy basically says United States government is not going to diplomatically recognize Taiwan. You know, we're not going to have a diplomatic relationship with Taiwan while we're having diplomatic relationship with China. But however, that's the promise made by U.S. government, not without conditions. The condition is the condition when U.S. government make the promise to China is China will never use a military force to invade Taiwan. You go back to read the three communiques signed between United States and China in 1972, 1979, and 1982. It's all in
there. So how many military bases do we have on Taiwanese soil? Zero.
We don't have.
Okay, so how many do we have in Japan? If you can't, if you can't.
Oh, we have quite a few.
Okay,
you know,
so.
We have Okinawa, and then we have, see, you know, U.S. military right now, you know, in order to prevent the war from happening, you know, on Taiwan, U.S. military
we
is
can't
trying
prevent
to
a
build
war from
a
happening on Taiwan. Sir, we cannot prevent China from invading Taiwan. What if we could? You already talked about the ships that China has, newer ships. They can blockade Taiwan. They've shown it several times. So the only option that the United States would possibly have is, instead of losing so many of men, because the air power that we would need to do that, to fly halfway around the world and attempt to do it with a strong nation like China, we'd never succeed. The only way possible to win something like that is through nuclear weaponry. You say
that's
that we should be able to protect Taiwan.
Assumption. That's your own assumption.
Okay, well, tell me how we can defeat...
You have no base on the assumption.
No, let me ask you, sir.
Military leaders and also
Sir, let me ask you. What would be the
Japanese
process...
political leaders, South Korea leaders...
What would be the process... No, I'm talking about Taiwan.
All of them disagree with you. You're the only one saying that.
Sir, let me ask you. What would be the process for the United States military to somehow defeat China in her own backyard? Tell me, because I don't know. You seem to know. What is the process?
If you don't know, then don't make those assumptions.
No.
Okay, so
I stand corrected. Sir, I stand corrected. So you tell me how we'll somehow be able to defeat China in her own backyard. Tell me, because I don't know.
Well, first of all, Taiwan, it's not China's backyard. Okay. Now
it's a lot closer than America is, sir.
U.S. military right now, it's reopened back in February of this year through negotiations. U.S. military already reopened 4 military bases in Philippines. And Philippines, you know, the closest, you know, distance between Philippines and Taiwan, it's, you know, it's just less than 100 miles. And so reopen 4 with the 5 already in operation. So right now, U.S. military is having it's having 9 military bases in Philippines.
So let me do this, sir. Let me do this, sir, because we're almost out of time. Do you mind if I reach back out to you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'll reach back out to you. We'll see if we can do it later on this week because there's so much to talk about. We got off on the wrong foot. And I want to continue the conversation. Thank you very much for the call. I'll call you after the show, and we'll set you up again where we got a real hour to talk about it. That's Nam Su from the Epoch Times.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I couldn't get what the call is, but we got to go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.